Representative Rick Hansen is the representative from 53B. He is also the chair for the Environmental and Natural Resource Finance and Policy Committee. He is kind enough today to join us about the big bill that got passed here on Monday to talk about the things that are in that and the good it's going to do. Representative, as always, good to talk to you again, and thank you very much for the time.
Great to be here.
And by the way, I know you're on the floor. If you do need to go, by all means, we completely understand. It's a busy day. So thank you very much for joining us. You sent me a video of you talking about something which is so no-brainer, it's not even funny, but it's lost on us. And that prevention costs a heck of a lot more than cleanup. And you use the reference to PFAS and the damage that they have done, and that 25, 30 years ago, people were talking about we should regulate these things, and it did not happen. And now we've got a mess on your hand. I think I can't tell you how glad I am that you're in charge of this committee, because it's common sense like this that I understand that people think that sometimes this is interfering with business. But the reality is it's saving the people a lot of money to regulate this on the front end as opposed to the back end.
And I actually think Minnesotans get it. You know, they believe in a polluter pays model. They don't believe in subsidizing profit by picking up, by having the public pick up the externalized costs of that production. I think it takes a while for elected folks to catch up, but you know they are, and we're doing a lot of good things. I mean, this bill on Monday just got passed or concurred with by the Senate, so it's on its way to the governor.
Nice.
The policy bill. That is following after the earliest in recent memory passing of the LCCMR bill, the recommendations for the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. That's already become law. The policy bill, which is about 99 pages one of the provisions is the first of its kind upgrades of no longer calling rough fish, you know, that fish that were considered trash or junk and thrown on the banks by some of us when we were younger. They're now considered a valuable fish, and we upgraded the statutes for these native fish that are important. That passed, and it's on its way to the governor, providing modern licensing, electronic licensing, so you can get your hunting or fishing license on your phone rather than having to go into a store and fill out the form. So there's just a number of those things that are no-brainers. We're trying to take bill after bill, get them to the governor early instead of waiting for one big bill at the end.
You go in there, and this tells me you were doing it right, because there was a sausage making quality of this thing, where I heard there were some Democrats that were a little bit bothered by the thing, some Republicans, but you did put out a bill that you tried to get a lot of input and take and put in things that the Republicans wanted in there as well, correct?
That's correct. So the bill, budget bill that includes policy, in recent memory, it's got more Republican provisions than one kind of unique one to talk about a Republican bill is we don't allow a sale of wild game. Like if I shot a deer, I can't sell you the venison. But there are things that for like bear fat that would be disposed of. There are people who have instead of throwing away bear fat, they're using it to make soap. And so it's something that would be discarded going into a landfill, and we provided an exception to the law so people could make soap out of bear fat. I mean, that was a Republican Nathan Nelson bill, and we included it. There were a couple of others. One was a Republican bill to look at reopening the General Andrews Nursery, which was closed about 10 years ago. We had one state nursery. We used to have two. With climate change and the need for trees, we are going to probably need full production from both of those nurseries, like we used to have, to provide trees for Minnesotans, for conservation, for urban areas, suburban areas, and rural areas. And the bill that we were talking about has a significant investment in trees. Last year we had a record-setting investments in outdoor recreation and in climate change. But one piece where we felt we needed more was trees. And so this bill provides a lot of money for trees, about $15 to $16 million that would be both at state parks, but in cities and suburban areas, and prioritizing environmental justice communities, where often when trees come down, they may not go back up. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure we have a diverse set of trees and of different ages in case we have another pest come by in the next generation, like we do with emerald ash borer right now.
Well, and you, if we can talk a little bit about that, talk about what's in the bill about emerald ash borer, because I know you guys have, there have been these pests, and we talk about chronic wasting disease, which is in the deer population, these real dangers that are out there that have not been addressed. Talk about what are you guys doing to address the emerald ash borer, because obviously it's devastating a lot of the trees.
Well, I checked in my city alone, in the city of South St. Paul, the cost for the city for replacing the public trees that are damaged by emerald ash borer is $800,000. We had one of our colleagues, Representative Christy Purcell in Northfield, asked, and the cost in Northfield was over $2 million. And so trying to provide some assistance, we're going to need to provide more. We are a fraction of the investment that was made by the state of Minnesota when Dutch elm disease came through two and three generations ago. So this is a supplemental budget. It's not the budget year. And so investing in trees to try to start to catch up, not only on taking down, but also for replanting and trying to plan for the future. So that's a significant portion of the House bill. We're using the general fund. We have a target of about $10 million, and we're appropriating $8 million of that for trees, and then another a little over $1 million for lawns to legumes again. That we have about 25,000 Minnesotans that have signed up to convert their lawn from a traditional turf grass to pollinator habitat. And that benefits water quality and wildlife as well. A little small investment with technical expertise. Minnesotans all over the state are trying something different, and there's a huge backlog for that popular program. Mm-hmm. So getting programs to people. People love their trees. Next week is Arbor Week. Arbor Day is on April 26th in Minnesota. So these are some of the investments we think would be good in a supplemental budget, as well as the policy that we were talking about earlier. Representative Fu Lee has provisions that are looking at air quality, particularly in environmental justice areas, and then looking at PFAS. What is going to be the cost? What is the cost recovery we can do? Because the cleanup cost, particularly even for drinking water and wastewater, is going to be in the billions. And we don't want another PFAS on the horizon in addition to what we're dealing with now. Nitrates are there. We have provisions in there for nitrates and looking at salt. So there's just a variety of things that we have in this bill in addition to the money that would get out to people for trees and for converting their lawns.
You brought up the nitrate issue in rural Minnesota. This is something that's crippling these districts out there where it's creating a massive healthcare crisis. The fertilizers getting into the water table and causing the nitrate issue. Also, pesticides are an issue there. Talk a little bit about that, because this is, as you talk about getting on the front end of a problem like this, we now see where the problem is. What are we able to do to not only treat the water supplies that have been contaminated with nitrates, but also try to limit the amount of more communities that are being hampered by this?
Well, we just passed in the Ag Committee, and it's really a revolutionary act, frankly. I give great credit to Chair Samantha Vang, yeah. Where we have a current program where 40 cents a ton fertilizer fee goes to production research. And what the Ag Committee, the DFL-led Ag Committee did is take that 40 cents, and instead of providing that for production research, providing that for drinking water assistance in that nine-county area where high nitrates are impacting people's wells. We have a public health crisis there. Yes, we are going to be investing general fund dollars and clean water funds for practices that landowners can implement, but we have to deal with contaminated drinking water. And again, going back to the polluter pays model, you know, there is pollution that comes from nitrogen fertilizer. That's a fact. We've known that for a long time. I think I've mentioned to you before, 35 years ago when I worked at the Department of Ag, I worked on the Nitrogen Fertilizer Task Force that made recommendations to deal with nitrate pollution in groundwater. This is not a new issue. We've had enough task forces. We've had enough stuff studies. We have to act, and I think that's why Minnesotans petitioned the EPA, and the EPA is saying we have to do something. And I really give credit to the Democratic members on the Ag Committee. Just think about that. The Ag Committee, with all the ag lobbyists sitting there in the room with their arms crossed, looking grumpy, passed that because said we need to do something different. That doesn't mean it's the only thing, but that's ongoing money that can go. So when there's also nitrate contamination around the state, not just in the Southeast, there's ongoing money that can help pay for that immediate drinking water protection, whether it be filters, whether it be bottled water immediately if we have to intervene, and also looking at how do we make those well supplies protected. We have spent hundreds of millions of dollars on voluntary practices. In my budget alone, in the environment, we authorized $21 million last year for cover crops. So those voluntary practices are not going to be enough. Mm-hmm. In addition, Chair Vang put in for additional enforcement relating to enforcing the nitrogen fertilizer rules. So a comprehensive approach. In the environment budget, we passed having the state look at its nitrogen fertilizer purchases. You know, what do we use in parks around the state? What do we use as nitrogen fertilizer? And then reducing that in 25%. So there's a comprehensive approach to try to deal with nitrogen. We did the same thing with salt. Road salt or salt on sidewalks is an issue. You can't manage what you can't measure. So we've directed the PCA to do tracking of how much salt do we buy as a state and reduce that amount by 25% so we can be tracking what we're using. If we're setting these goals for clean energy, if we're setting these goals for renewable energy, then we need to look at some of these contaminants and what do we do as the public entity. We can lead as the public entity, and then hopefully that provides a good example for the private sector to follow.
The environmental justice issue, one of the things I found to be interesting, the National Geographic had a very interesting story about inner core cities, namely Los Angeles, they were looking at, and how the planting of trees, not only obviously there's an aesthetic quality to it, better air quality with a tree, but it was keeping the heat down in areas, and that where there was heat crises in that city, it was areas where they didn't have a lot of trees. We are, once again, this is about being proactive. We are dealing with a warming planet here, and in a lot of urban areas, there just are not any trees. And you know, I think by addressing that, that's getting on the front edge of this, because the last thing we need is, you know, the incredible cost of heat, whether that's health wise or, you know, with energy bills, trying to keep things cool. By just putting out some trees, you can actually do a lot to cut those costs down, especially the healthcare costs as well.
Yep. And it helps on water storage. You know, it helps on carbon sequestration. The tree is better than that turf grass in storing carbon. You know, so what we can lead here, and hopefully the Senate will agree that we need to get these trees out there. We need to come back again next year and the year after that. And that's why I think that we did invest in upgrading the existing nursery, and we need to look at the additional nursery. Plus, we are going to have to work with the nursery and landscape folks to get those trees out there, provide incentives for Minnesotans to be planting trees. What's the saying? The best day to plant a tree is today.
Yes.
And the next best day to plant a tree is tomorrow. So something like that. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but we've got to plant more trees, but we also have to look at prevention being better than cleanup. You know, yeah. that when we plant the trees, when we handle these things, we've got to look at what we produce as human beings, and how do we prevent some of these chemicals that we may have thought were okay. Maybe they were wonder chemicals. Maybe they stopped the bugs from eating the seeds. Maybe they, maybe it made the egg slide off your plate. All these things that were viewed as modern conveniences have a long time future consequence. And so we also need to be careful when we're looking at some of the solutions. So we have a definition of sustainable aviation fuel. We want to make sure that if there's going to be ramping up of production for ethanol for airplanes, that we're not cutting down trees and putting that land to the plow. Mm-hmm. So having these discussions in terms of policy is better than having to react 5 years from now and going, oh my gosh, the genie's out of the bottle and we don't know how to put it back in.
The bill passed 7258. It has a lot of things for Republicans in there. Does it still surprise you, though, the amount of people? I mean, I know, the as you mentioned, the ag lobby, other industry lobbies, they are out there, and they're out there basically pulling chains really tightly. But at the same time, I mean, I'm glad you're there, and I'm glad the Democrats have the majority because things are getting done. But it does show us that there is no room for judgment here, that, you know, that this is a case where, because of this Democratic leadership, things are actually getting done here.
And it takes... It takes leadership to break the ice, you know, because it's somewhat risky to venture out on that ice, if I want to maybe use a weird metaphor. But we've got to lead. And I think when you lead and when you actually get the vote there, particularly on this policy bill that we were talking about, 72 votes means that there were Republicans that voted for it. In the Senate today, I think there were 40 votes. So several Republicans voted for it. So I believe they are listening to their constituents when we see these bipartisan votes on environment. Last year on the environment investment bill, we had 3 Republican votes on that. I think that's more than most of the other omnibus bills at the time. I'm hopeful that at the end of the day, when we bring this budget and finance bill to the floor in both the House and the Senate, that there will be Republican votes. There were strong Republican votes for the LCCMR package. There were strong Republican votes for the environment policy bill on Monday and then concurring again today. And I think when you look at the whole and it's in front of people for voting in the House and the Senate with that budget and investing in trees, I think it'd be a pretty hard vote to vote against getting trees out to Minnesotans.
Well, even if they do vote against it, they'll sure take credit for it. That's me saying it, not you. Representative Rick Hansen, District 53B, the chair of the Environmental Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee. Representative, outstanding work, but this is what you do, man. You are fantastic, and thank God you are in there in a leadership position. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the time, and great job on this bill.
Thank you. It's a team effort. Earth Day is coming up, as is Arbor Day. Go plant a tree.
Go plant a tree. Pick up some trash. It's a fantastic. We always do that on Earth Day. Representative Rick Hansen, thank you very much. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on your Thursday. Feels good to see the world getting loose. Feels good to see.